The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How are eternal salvation and forgiveness of sins connected? Is regeneration by faith alone? Thank you for joining us today, friend, on Grace in Focus. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are located in North Texas, and our website is faithalone.org. You'll find all kinds of information about us and articles that we've written, including our conference ministry and our magazine, Grace in Focus. That magazine has a free subscription, and we invite you to sign up for it right on our website. It is free all except for postage if you live outside of the 48 contiguous United States. It's a great magazine. Check it out at faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Sam Marr.
We have a question, or really more of a comment, from John. He asserts that the Bible doesn't teach faith alone and that that's a later teaching, he says, spread by Martin Luther. I'm not sure why. So if you just want to give a quick response to that.
Yeah, you know, years ago, it was probably late 90s, I debated a Church of Christ evangelist in Baytown, Texas. And in the debate, he said, the expression justification by faith alone doesn't occur anywhere in the Bible except once. And the one time it occurs in James 2:24, it says justification is not by faith alone. Mm-hmm. And he laughed and said, see, well, first of all, James 2:24 is mistranslated. It should say that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. He's not only justified by faith. There's two justifications, one by faith before God, one by works before men. Read Hodge's commentary on James. And secondly, it's true, John 3:16 doesn't say whoever only believes in him. And Ephesians 2:8 and 9 doesn't say, for by grace you have been saved by faith alone.
Right.
And it's true that there's lots of verses, over 100 of them, that talk about salvation or justification or regeneration by faith, but they don't specifically say alone. But here's the point. Here's the point, John. The point is, it's the only condition mentioned. And so in English, when there's only one condition mentioned, we say that the condition is only faith. Mm-hmm. That's it, because there's no other condition mentioned.
Right. He never said you're saved by faith and by works or and by this and by this. It's the only requirement Jesus himself gave. But that's kind of, to me, there's another instance where someone starts with the opinion or the theology they want, and then they work backwards to see what the text says, because he goes on in this to reference verses that talk about obedience and baptism and obeying and obeying and obeying, which is important. If you said faith alone by itself, then yeah, the Bible doesn't talk about faith alone. Salvation is through faith alone, but the Christian life isn't faith alone. It's obedience and all the other things, but they're just lumping all of it together. All of that is salvation, so it can't be alone.
Part of the problem with this is the words save and salvation mostly in the New Testament refer to deliverance from problems in this life. Only about 30% of the time do they refer to regeneration. And so he can quote various verses that use the word save or salvation where the condition is something other than faith. Mm-hmm. Because the issue there is not salvation from eternal condemnation, it's salvation or deliverance from judgment in this life. And so a lot of people get confused, but here's the simple thing. If you really want to know what the condition of everlasting life is, why not read the Gospel of John? It's the only evangelistic book in the Bible. John 20:31, John says, I'm writing to unbelievers that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And all through John's Gospel, over and over and over again, he says that the one who believes in him has everlasting life, will never hunger, will never thirst, will never die, will never perish, will never be cast out, never be plucked from his hand, that we're never going to die spiritually, that we're secure. And that's over and over and over again. And so you're right. Don't go to other texts to try to disprove what the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching, or, by the way, what the apostles teach. You can find that all the way through the New Testament. I have a book called Faith Alone in 100 Verses, and I show verses from the Old and New Testament, primarily the New Testament, that show that faith is the only condition. Well, I think we have a second question from one of the apostles, from Philip, right? And what does Philip ask about?
Oh, and this is about the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verse 43 specifically, but I think he references some other ones as well. But he wants to know if 10:43, does this justify salvation by faith alone?
All right, so Acts 10:43, I've got it here, and it says, Peter's preaching about Jesus, and he talks about the fact that he died. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, and then God raised him on the third day, and then to various witnesses, including Peter himself, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead, and he commanded us to preach to the people and testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. And then he says to him, all the prophets witness, verse 43, that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically, or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
That through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. What's interesting here is Peter doesn't say whoever believes in him will receive everlasting life or receive salvation. But it's pretty clear, based on the next verse, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. It's pretty clear that Peter wasn't finished. He intended to say more. He was probably going to talk about everlasting life and the fact that it's secure and the fact that it's simply by faith. However, we know from Acts 11:14 that Cornelius told Peter that an angel had told him to send for Simon Peter, who will tell you words by which you and your household must be saved. So that when his household heard this, that whoever believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins, they understood that to include a once-for-all salvation. Now, I think this is suggesting that every believer starts the Christian life with a clean slate. So he has all his sins forgiven, so that, now some people would say, well, this is a positional forgiveness, past, present, and future. I would say this is referring to forgiveness to this point so that the believer starts in fellowship with God. And now he needs to confess his sins and walk in the light in order to continue to stay in fellowship with God. But even if you hold the view that this is referring to past, present, and future forgiveness, it's linked to the salvation that the angel had told Cornelius that Peter would be preaching. And in fact, in Acts chapter 15, Peter mentions this. Do you have that opened up, Acts 15? It's the Jerusalem Council?
Yeah.
It's around, what, verses 7 to 11? I guess the part's about faith, and he doesn't actually mention, well, he does allude to remission of sins, but.
All right, starting in verse 8, he says, so God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between them, purifying their hearts by faith.
Okay, so let's pause there, purifying their hearts by faith. You remember Jesus said in John 13:10, you are clean, but not all of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said that was a dual reference, one meaning Judas wasn't clean, and secondly, meaning you need your feet washed, you need fellowship forgiveness. And then you also remember Paul says in Titus 3:5, he speaks of the washing of regeneration. So when a person is born again, they're cleansed of all their former sins. Now, 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And then verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here, Peter doesn't mention the forgiveness part, but he does mention the purification or the cleansing part. And he's saying he made the Gentiles clean by faith, not by works. And then keep going there.
He goes on to say, now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they.
Yeah, so salvation is by grace through faith, apart from works. And that's the message. Peter is defending justification or regeneration by faith alone here. And that's what he preached. So I would agree with Philip that this passage does support salvation by faith alone, apart from works. Because notice, Peter doesn't mention anything about they need to commit their lives to Jesus, they need to turn from their sins, they need to surrender, they need to obey, they need to persevere. He just says whoever believes in him. And after that, he then says, who can forbid water for these people to be baptized who has received the Spirit just as we have? They received the Holy Spirit, and he went ahead and baptized them. And so it's important to recognize that although the book of Acts is not an evangelistic book, it does have some places where it clearly underscores the message we find in the Gospel of John.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one of them. Another one, of course, would be in Acts 16 with the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved.
Yeah.
And you do have some verses like that in Acts. You also have lots of verses like that in the epistles, even though the purpose of the epistles is not evangelistic either. So that's why I always recommend go to the Gospel of John, establish your understanding of the saving message from the Gospel of John, and then go out from there and understand it when you see it in Acts 10:43 or other places in light of that.
Yeah, I think that would clear up a lot of confusion.
And as you mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of people, they just take their tradition and impose it on the scriptures or their reason.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they think only good people should go to heaven instead of we're all sinners and no one's good except God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks so much, John and Philip, and thanks to each of you for tuning in. And remember, let's always keep grace in focus.
Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, in the Bible, is there such a thing as a pastor? And does illness prove disobedience? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.